Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military.
I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit. My family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
These ideologies. And all they have to do is point to the historic ills of America and say, that wasn't a bug, that was the feature. That the system was designed this way. And because the system was designed this way, we have to destroy the system. And again, this has become sort of, in a soft way, written into the culture in a variety of ways. When people talk about systemic racism, what they mean is that all the systems of the United States are inherently racist and unfixably racist, so you have to destroy the system from within. This is why it's always been bizarre to watch somebody who's an establishmentarian, like Joe Biden, talk about systemic racism, because he never offers any solutions. More on that in just a second. But first, a word from our sponsor.
On September 18th, don't miss Infidel, the new heart-pounding political thriller inspired by true events.
You are an American spy.
What?
Infidel tells the story of one man's incredible journey of faith and survival after being kidnapped in the Middle East.
What do you want?
And his wife's courage to never give up on him.
This is terrorism.
When his country abandoned him, his freedom became her mission.
I came here to save his life.
Starring Jim Caviezel.
Do your job.
See Infidel, only in theaters September 18th.
Okay, so systemic racism is merely a formula for, if you give me power, I will fix. But of course, he has no power to fix systemic racism, because if it's embedded in the institutions, the only solution is to tear down the entire institution. This is the case made by Isabel Wilkerson in her cast. And she suggested that the problem with the United States is foundational. It is not a problem with structural insecurities in the walls of the United States. Instead, it lies right at the foundation. The only way that you can fix that is to raise the house completely. R-A-Z-E, raise the house, right? Destroy it. And so this is the philosophy, and it is being taught increasingly across the country. It has infused the teaching of American history. Howard Zinn, obviously a very, very popular historian who's become in vogue with the jet set glitterati out here in Hollywood, which is why he's name checked about 8 different times in Good Will Hunting. Howard Zinn was an actual Marxist who suggested that every good that America had ever done was shot through with historic evil, including the victory in World War II. He actually says in A People's History of the United States that the American victory over Nazism was marred by the fact that America took Nazism into its bones, took fascism in. I mean, he says this in his book. America took all of the lessons of the Nazis and integrated them. Right? It was in America's bones. We fed off of the evil ideology of the Nazis. America is always and inevitably historically wrong. Now, it is true that for many decades in the United States, there was a willingness to overlook the dark spots in American history. And that's wrong. We shouldn't overlook the dark spots in American history. I've given entire speeches about this. When I spoke at Boston University last year, I overtly talked at length about the tremendous, horrific evil of American slavery and the tremendous, horrific evil of Jim Crow. I talked about the heroism of people who fought both, the heroism of the leaders of the civil rights movement, and the heroism of everyday black Americans who fought in defense of the American flag that, in many cases, was still held by people who wanted to subjugate them. I end my book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps, by telling the story of a member of the Red Tails during World War II, a black American who came back to a segregated America but fought on behalf of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence in the skies above Germany. There's tremendous heroism in the American story, and there's tremendous darkness, but the heroism outweighs the darkness. And the philosophy of the United States is what has allowed us to grow. It's what has allowed us to take universal evils and destroy them in the United States. See, the way that people who really don't like the United States think about the United States is that all universal human evils are unique to the United States, and all unique American goods are universal. So this is why you'll see from the left the idea that the landing on the moon landing, was not an American achievement, it was a human achievement. We got a lot of this last year when it was the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. It was a universal human achievement. It wasn't an American achievement. It was a human achievement. The growth and prosperity of the United States, that's not an American achievement. That's a world achievement. That the natural state of man is to be prosperous is something Nelson Mandela once said idiotically. The natural state of man is to live life of chaos and privation. That is the natural state of man. It takes civilization to prevent that from happening. We've developed entire civilizations to prevent all of us from living in the wild. That's what civilization was designed to do. And it took thousands of years of development to get here. The level of ingratitude toward America that it takes to look at the things that make America great, our level of freedom, our level of prosperity, spreading that freedom and prosperity to billions of people abroad over history. And to say, well, you know, that was universal, but what's unique about America is American slavery. It's historically ignorant, it is wrongheaded, and it is designed to disintegrate the bonds that tie us together. If the thing that makes America exceptional is American slavery, you know, leaving aside the fact that some 12 million slaves were brought from Africa to the Western Hemisphere, the vast majority of whom never saw American shores, most of them actually ended up in South America and the Caribbean, to ignore the fact that slavery was an evil human universal for nearly all of human history, up until the last 5 minutes or so, historically speaking. And then to say that America was unique in this way, but that prosperity was universal and America is not unique in that way, you have to be blind, or you have to be motivated to destroy everything. And that's really what is going on here. So, unfortunately, the 1619 Project is now being taught in a lot of public schools. Howard Zinn is being assigned in nearly every college classroom that I'm aware of. And it's not being taught as a corrective to whitewash history. That would be one thing. It would be one thing if you read a patriotic history of the United States that sort of glossed over problems in American history. And he said, okay, and now you should also read this chapter of Howard Zinn that reminds us of all the bad stuff in American history. That's not how this stuff is taught. It is taught as a replacement for American history. It is an instead of, not an in addition to. The 1619 Project openly stated this. They said that America's true founding was 1619, not that America's founding was in 1776. But we have to take into account the legacy of 1619 in looking at the history of the United States. That would be fair. Because obviously slavery has a lot to do with the history of the United States. That's not what the 1619 Project contended. It contended that the actual founding of the United States, the values upon which the United States was founded, were the importation of African slaves to the United States, or to the pre-United States since the U.S. didn't exist yet, right, to the British colonies in Virginia. That is an absolute overt lie. So yesterday on Constitution Day, President Trump spoke overtly about this, and people lost their minds. Which shows the gap that has emerged in American public life. When I say there's a gap between people who want to disintegrate American history and people who believe in American history, I've never seen it quite as clearly exposed as what happened yesterday online after Trump suggested that maybe we ought to teach American children that America is good. People literally compared him to a Nazi. They compared him to Vladimir Putin. They suggested that when he said that Americans should be taught to be patriotic about the greatest country in world history, which they should be, that somehow this amounted to jingoistic Nazism. If you believe that teaching American children that their country is exceptional and good is a sign of Nazism, it's because you are both historically ignorant and malevolent. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. But first, you need home insurance. Like in a lot of states, you actually need home insurance. Policy Genius saves their home and auto customers an average of $1,127 a year by shopping top-rated insurance in one place. Now, normally, somebody refers you to a home insurer, and you're like, okay, Bob heard of them, so they're probably good. That's not the way you should shop for any insurance, let alone something expensive like home insurance. Now, if you are thinking that $1,127 is a weirdly specific amount to save, you are correct. But Policy Genius has crunched the numbers. That's what it is. In fact, crunching numbers is the thing Policy Genius does best. Their insurance marketplace makes it easy to compare rates from the top home and auto insurance companies to find you the best price. Here's how it works. All you have to do is head over to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. After that, Policy Genius does all the work. They'll compare your existing policy against others in the market to make sure you're getting the right coverage at the best possible price. If Policy Genius finds a better rate than what you're currently paying, they'll get you switched for free. So, if you're a homeowner, head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. They've saved their home and auto insurance customers an oddly specific average of $1,127 a year. Who knows what weirdly specific amount they could save you. Coming up, President Trump's Constitution Day speech. It really was a pretty great speech. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gordon Christensen, and if you're a dentist as I am, or you know a dentist, please take a moment to listen. When I became a dentist, I learned how quickly poor oral health can lead to other serious health problems. And for people without access to care, these problems can spiral very quickly. I wanted to help, but I wasn't sure how I could until I joined Dental Lifeline Network. It's a nonprofit that has helped us literally change the lives of people in our communities. DLN asks dentists to volunteer to see just one of the many patients in need in your area. It's very simple. DLN screens those in need and coordinates an initial appointment that takes place in the comfort of the dentist's own office and on their schedule. Right now, there's a wait list for patients in need in your community. I'm asking fellow dentists who will join me in seeing one patient per year.
Learn more about Dental Lifeline Network at willyouseeone.org, furnished by Dental Lifeline Network. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So President Trump yesterday, Constitution Day, gave a pretty great speech on American education in which he says we need to stop teaching critical race theory and 1619 Project nonsense and Howard Zinn in our public schools. And people just they threw a bleep fit. I mean, they just went nuts over this. Now, here is the basic rule that I have when it comes to federal education. I think that the federal government should not be involved in education. I think the Department of Education should be abolished. The reason I believe this is because the same federal Department of Education capable of telling states to teach good history is similarly capable of telling the states to teach quite bad history or to teach Common Core. It seems to me that education should be devolved to the lowest level, meaning that you should be able to control education in your local community or at the state level. I mean, in an ideal world, obviously, you would have community schools that are directly funded by parents and by members of the community, whether it's parochial schools or whether it's private schools or whether it's charter schools. But in any case, if the federal government is to be involved in the business of education, certainly it has a stake in people not learning false history and pseudo-history and history directly designed to undermine the foundations of the United States, because then we lose all commonality. So here was Trump going after critical race theory and the 1619 Project.
The left is attempting to destroy that beautiful vision and divide Americans by race in the service of political power. By viewing every issue through the lens of race, they want to impose a new segregation, and we must not allow that to happen. Critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and the crusade against American history is toxic propaganda, ideological poison that, if not removed, will dissolve the civic bonds that tie us together.
Fact check, absolutely true. I mean, someone could write a book about it. Oh, wait, I did. How to Destroy America in Three Easy Steps, if you want the long version of Trump's speech with a full chapter on a more accurate history of the United States and what that would look like, including all of the dark spots in American history, including the mistreatment of black Americans, the mistreatment of American Indians, and all the rest. Hey, he is correct about this. This is toxic stuff, suggesting that America has no foundational principles, which is what CRT says, that all the foundational principles are basically just a pasteboard fabric that is designed to obscure deeper, evil attempts to install racial and class hierarchies. It's disgusting, and it destroys the country. And he's exactly right about this. Any country that hopes to survive has to share a philosophy, has to share a history, has to share a culture. CRT, 1619 Project, they're aimed directly at this. Now, it used to be, by the way, that Nicole Hannah-Jones of the world would fully admit this. Right? Nicole Hannah-Jones literally tweeted this out about the 1619 Project back in July. Quote, I've always said the 1619 Project is not a history. It is a work of journalism that explicitly seeks to challenge the national narrative and therefore the national memory. The project has always been as much about the present as it is the past. In other words, we want to shift how Americans think about America dramatically. Right? We don't want to shade it. We don't want to remind them of bad things. We want to completely shift the narrative. She's a radical. It's an incredibly negative thing. The fact that she won a Pulitzer for a project that is so bad it was fact-checked and she refused to change the facts, she's awful. And the fact that they made her the de facto editor of the New York Times demonstrates where our media are at and where the far left are at. Or the mainstream left, I should say, at this point. Okay, so Trump continued. He said it is child abuse to teach critical race theory to kids. This is 100% true. Again, teaching a child of any ilk that in a free country, you are a victim. And that you're inherently a victim because the systems will victimize you. The systems are out to get you. There is no greater act of viciousness you can visit upon a child than teaching a child that no matter how hard you work, you are bound for failure. That is a vicious thing to teach a child. I have three children. Last I checked, we all live in the United States. My kids are Jewish, as it turns out. And it turns out that the number one group in the United States targeted for hate crimes are Jews. Do you think that I'm telling my six-year-old that no matter what you do in the United States, you will not succeed? First of all, I can't tell my kids that because it's an overt lie. But beyond that, it is an act of deep, abiding immorality to teach people that they are victims of systems they cannot see, especially when that is not true. It turns out that when people are victims of systems, you typically can see it. Right? Jim Crow is a system where you can point out and say, you know, you're a victim of the system because they literally will not allow you to go to that school across the street because of your race. That is a fairly obvious situation in which you're a victim of the system. Even in that situation, the most successful people are people who don't think of themselves as victims. Being a victim is not being a hero. Overcoming victimhood is heroism. Reveling in the fact that there are obstacles in life is the least likely thing to lead you to a successful life. And it happens to be an overt lie in modern America. So here is Trump saying that CRT is effectively child abuse. This is ideologically correct.
Critical race theory is being forced into our children's schools. This is offensive and outrageous to Americans of every ethnicity, and it's especially harmful to children of minority backgrounds who should be uplifted, not disparaged. Teaching this horrible doctrine to our children is a form of child abuse in the truest sense of those words.
Okay, so Trump moves on and he calls for patriotic education. This is what drove everybody nuts. The minute you say patriotism to the left, the fact that the word patriotism is anathema to the left should tell you something about what the left believes about the country. Do you want to live in a country where the entire governing system, the entire intelligentsia believe that being a patriot makes you a bigot? Because this is what people believe. I am not joking. Online, as soon as Trump said patriotic education, Hitler Youth trended yesterday on Twitter because he said that he thinks that Americans should be patriotic about the country and that kids should be taught to be patriotic about the country. Hitler Youth. That's insane. He is not saying that you should be patriotic about all of America's evils. He's saying you should be patriotic about America's founding documents, about our ideology, about our history. They should be patriotic and recognize the evils of American history. In the speech, he mentioned some of the evils of American history. But the media deliberately overlooked that in order to declare that he was some sort of uber nationalist, Deutschland uber Alice. It's insane. It's insane. Of course, Americans should believe America is good. How this is in any way controversial is absolutely beyond me. Frankly, I think that you have to be mentally deficient to believe otherwise, that American children should be taught that the country that they inhabit is good and that it has historically provided incredible good for the world and that its founding ideology is good. What, you want them taught that America's evil? I mean, the answer is yes. That is the actual answer. There's a huge cadre of Americans who believe that children in America should be taught that the country is evil and must be torn down to the root. Again, you want to make the argument on a systemic level the federal government should not control education? I'm with you. Let's do it. I don't think you want to have that argument. I think what you actually want is to force the federal government to sponsor and subsidize your anti-American bullcrap. Coming up, the greatest troll of at least the new century. It's pretty spectacular from Betsy DeVos's Department of Education concerning critical race theory. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisades is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Truck. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Still evinced racism, writing, quote, "Racism and the damage it does to people of color nevertheless persist at Princeton, as in our society. Racist assumptions from the past also remain embedded in structures of the university itself." Right, this is the systemic racism argument. I've talked about it a million times at this point. The argument on systemic racism is not the same as the argument that racism still exists. Of course, racism still exists. Of course, there are still racists. People do racist things. That is a condition that is inherent to being a human being. It just is. Racism exists in all societies, at all places, at all times. If you want to see truly racist societies against black people, you might want to take a look at some of the countries over in Europe or in Asia. Seriously. They've done polling data on people across the world and how comfortable they would be living with somebody who's not of their race next door. And the United States ranks super high on the list of people who are comfortable living with somebody of a different race next door. That's true also for Canada and the UK. It is very low other places. Okay, in any case, the argument is not about racism. It's about structures of racism. Structural racism, a term, institutional racism, first coined by Stokely Carmichael, who later became a criminal. Stokely Carmichael made the argument that because history matters, all of racism is embedded in structures. And the way that you can tell if a structure is racist is if the result of the structure has racial differentiation. So it's just early stage Ibram X. Kendi. Right? And the only way to get rid of that racism is therefore to tear down the structures. So this is what Princeton means. When they say that racist assumptions from the past remain embedded in structures of the university itself. And so they issued this letter, right, Christopher Eisgruber, to the entire Princeton community. This is the you ready for this? This is the greatest troll of all time. Honestly, Betsy DeVos deserves a medal as Secretary of Education for this. She deserves, like, the full-on weird face meme from Twitter, like, engraved in gold. So here's what she did. On Wednesday, the Department of Education fired off a letter to Princeton declaring that the university would now be federally investigated, stating it was, quote, "concerned Princeton's non-discrimination and equal opportunity assurances in its program participation agreements from at least 2013 to the present may have been false." The letter, obtained and published by the Washington Examiner, continued, "Based on the facts, the Secretary of Education may consider measures against Princeton for false program participation agreement non-discrimination assurances, including an action to recover funds. Also, she may consider measures against Princeton for making substantial misrepresentations about the nature of its educational program, including a fine proceeding. The serious, even shocking nature of Princeton's admissions compel the department to move with all appropriate speed." The Examiner noted that an admission from Eisgruber about the systemic racism of Princeton raises concerns Princeton has been receiving tens of millions of dollars in federal funds in violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 64, which declares no person in the United States shall, on the ground of race, color, or national origin, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. So basically what happened here is the Department of Education is now taking Princeton at its word. Okay, you guys say you're systemically racist. Good, we're investigating you. You say that all of your institutions are shot through with racism. Well, you know that's illegal in the United States. You receive federal dollars. So we're going to look at you, and maybe we'll just take back our tens of millions. So now Princeton is going to be forced to argue privately to the federal government that they are not racist, but publicly that they are racist. Or that if they are racist, it's not manifesting in actual mistreatment of black people. It's just kind of out there. Good. Call the bluff. Seriously, call the bluff. I love it. If you are going to go out there as an entity receiving public dollars and claim that you are the result of a racist system and that your systems themselves are racist, that's illegal in the United States. It's been illegal for 50 years in the United States. So, all right, let's do this thing. Slow clap for Betsy DeVos, man. Slow clap. Department of Education. Woo! This is the only reason I have ever seen for the Department of Education not to be abolished. This is the only reason in history. So good. Honestly, this should be your tactic in everyday conversations. When someone says America is systemically racist, you should say to them, are you a racist? Because they will usually say yes. And you say, well, I don't talk to racists. And if they say no, then you say, well, if you're not racist, why are you imputing racism to everybody else? What have I done that's racist? What have you done that's racist? If they say, well, we are all racist, then you say, okay, well, how do you expiate your racism? And they say, well, you admit it. You say, yes, but now you've admitted you're a racist. So why would I like to expiate your racism simply by admitting that you're a racist? You've literally said that racism is unalterable. It is a facet of being white in America. So you can't expiate your own racism. And it doesn't matter how many times you mimic the slogans of BLM and how many stupid lawn signs you put on your lawn. It's inherent in your whiteness. You can do a malice struggle session, but the demands never end. So I'm not going to take you seriously. You shouldn't take anybody seriously who makes these sorts of contentions. Or if you do take them seriously, then go ahead and take them literally and ask them to prove their own racism. Should be a fun conversation. And meanwhile, Joe Biden got the softball treatment from CNN. Who could have predicted? Who could have predicted? We'll get that in just 1 second. But first, a word from our sponsor.
On September 18th, don't miss Infidel, the new heart-pounding political thriller inspired by true events.
You are an American spy.
What? Infidel tells the story of one man's incredible journey of faith and survival after being kidnapped in the Middle East. And his wife's courage to never give up on him.
This is terrible.
When his country abandoned him, his freedom became her mission.
I came here to save his life.
Starring Jim Caviezel.
Do your job.
See Infidel, only in theaters September 18th.
Alrighty, so Joe Biden does a town hall on CNN, and he has not asked a single really difficult question during the entire time. But Joe Biden is obviously not cognitively with it. And so it's kind of hard to watch, because just as a human being, you're kind of rooting for him to finish his sentences, and it's really not good. But according to the media, it was a masterful, brilliant, edifying performance by Joe Biden. And the reason that it was brilliant and wonderful and edifying is, of course, because it was, in fact, Joe Biden talking. And the fact that he was not asked, like, a single difficult question, that's normal. According to CNN, Brian Stelter suggested last night, not kidding, Brian Stelter put in his newsletter, why is it that Joe Biden is basically getting treated with kid gloves? His answer is because Donald Trump is a big, bad, orange, mean man. Quote, of course they are treated differently. The notion that Trump should be interviewed in the same fashion as Biden is absurd. Trump has no allegiance to the truth. It shows every single time he's in front of a camera. He lies, misleads, and promotes conspiracy theories at an unprecedented rate in modern American politics. So in other words, Trump should be asked difficult questions because Trump is a very bad, orange, mean man who says things that I don't like. But Joe Biden is a wonderful man who never lies and has never bloviated and has never prevaricated, never committed plagiarism, never exaggerated, never been insulting about Indian Americans, never done any, like, okay. So the media have now justified their own failure of journalism by suggesting in true journalismic fashion that they really can't ask questions to Joe Biden that are tough because Joe Biden is just too wonderful a human being. Still, Joe Biden does this town hall last night, and it gets awkward. So, for example, he was asked specifically about the Green New Deal. He randomly lost his train of thought in the middle of the answer and talked about ventilating schools, which is a weird thing to do.
There's so much we can do and still make it better for people. We're going to invest in close to $1 trillion over time, in the near time, for infrastructure. We're going to build green infrastructure. For example, I propose that we spend $100 billion on making sure our schools have the right ventilation, making sure schools, in fact, are safe, making sure schools are in a position where they are not generating the use of more energy.
Okay, so he loses track in the middle obviously, and then he realizes, oh, wait, this is a question about the Green New Deal. I probably need it. Ventilating schools, making them safer, that's a COVID thing. That's not a Green New Deal thing. He just loses track in the middle, and there's a lot of this. Now, he was asked by a woman who was a farmer about overregulation. His answer was something having to do with chicken bleep in Delaware. Not kidding. He gave an answer about chicken manure in Delaware, and the lady is staring at him like, I don't know what you're talking about, Joe. Here's the question and answer. Unbelievable.
In the United States, in my state of Delaware, we have a $4 billion industry, chickens, chicken and chicken and poultry, and all the manure, quite frankly, that is a consequence of chickens. And so it's polluting the Chesapeake Bay. What we found out, we've invested a lot of money. We found out you can pelletize this and take out the methane, so you're in a position where you can use that fertilizer without the damage that was being done before. The same way with horse manure and cow manure and pig manure.
He is definitely an expert in types of manure and slinging them around. That lady's expression, they just need to close in on her face and then go directly to the Curb Your Enthusiasm credits, because she's like, what in the F? I was just asking about, like, please don't shut down my farm through your crappy overregulation and your Green New Deal nonsense. And he's like, let me just tell you about this time where I saw, like, there was poop, and I don't know whether it was, like, from a beaver or a dolphin, but it was on the side of the road, and I picked it up, and I said to Corn Pop, why is there poop in my leg hair? Why? And everybody's like, woo! Joe Biden, look at that performance! Woo! That man is going to be our president for 32.7 seconds before Kamala Harris is the president of the United States. Joe Biden also unleashed a bit of radicalism that the media immediately covered up. So he said he backed the Green New Deal, but then he backed off it, right? This is the way that Joe Biden does it. He is asked specifically about the radical policies of his own party, and then he says he backs them, but I've also provided an alternative plan that's not quite as radical. And that way, when Republicans say he backs the Green New Deal, the media fact-check them and say, oh, but he also said that he has his own plan. Okay, you can't have it both ways. If you back the Green New Deal, you want $93 trillion in new spending. Trillion. With a G. But watch Joe Biden split the baby here.
She was asking about the Green New Deal. Do you back that, or do you think it's too much?
I don't think it's too much. No, I have my own deal. I've laid it out in great detail. And it's the Democratic Party's adopted as a platform. It requires for us to move in a direction to fundamentally change the way in which we deal with the environment.
Okay, and then he was asked about China, and he was repeatedly asked whether he'd call China an opponent. He would not. So, you know, the fact that Joe Biden says that, again, you want to talk about media malfeasance? The intelligence community came up with a report. It said the Russians would try to interfere in the election again, and they would do so on behalf of Trump. They also said Iran and China would attempt to interfere with the election on behalf of Joe Biden. Which one of those things have you heard from the mainstream media? Infinitely. Right? Trump won in 2016 because of the Russians. Not true. Trump won in 20—if he wins, it'll be because of the Russians in 2020. Which country is more powerful and has more propagandistic arms in the United States? The Chinese government or the Russian government? There's no question. And the Chinese government is apparently attempting to interfere on Biden's behalf, but you never hear about it. Here's Joe Biden saying that he won't call the Chinese an opponent. They're more like a competitor, you know. They're not really an opponent, even though they're actively engaging in human rights abuses. They're actively subjecting formerly free states like Hong Kong to abject tyranny. They are clearly attempting aggressive action in the South China Sea directed at Japan and Taiwan. They're creating a Belt and Road program designed to minimize Western influence and to maximize their own. But Joe Biden won't call them an opponent no matter what. But don't worry, he's going to be strong on China, guys.
Do you view China as an opponent? Because the president says you've been too cozy with China, too accepting of them in the international community.
I'm not the guy. Look, China, we now have a larger trade deficit with China than we've ever had with China. And in our administration, when the World Trade Organization, he keeps going on about, just ruled that his trade policy violated the World Trade Organization. We sued. We went to the World Trade Organization 16 times.
Do you view China as an opponent?
I view China as a competitor.
Oh, competitor, is it? A competitor. And then, of course, he futzed on fracking because he doesn't want to lose Pennsylvania, but also he has pledged to basically end fracking. He says no new licenses, which, of course, means pretty quickly the end of fracking. Here was Joe Biden trying to split the baby once again.
You said you won't ban fracking, but that you wanted to gradually move away from it ultimately. It sounds like, to some, you're...
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
I'll see you later. Okay.
So Dr. Pui is the best of the best of the leukemia doctors at St. Jude. And we very quickly found out how much he loves his patients. One of our first visits with Dr. Pui, and he was kind of running through the protocol and naming off all the medications. And he said, but don't worry, you don't pay that. St. Jude pays that. Just to think, like, and what if they didn't?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Democrats' game here is to blame Trump for every single person who has died from COVID. Bottom line is that you can blame Trump for everything, and that's what Biden proceeded to do last night. He said that the virus is costing us our freedoms. Well, actually, right now, it's lockdowns that are costing us our freedoms, not the virus itself. Because if people wore masks in public places and they are young and they are not sick, we could all be back at work right now. And in fact, that is what we should be pursuing. In fact, that is what most places in Europe are pursuing right now. But according to Joe Biden, it's only the virus. The virus is the only reason why we're locked down, not actual formal lockdowns in many, many states, including California, where literally half of the unemployed now live.
I would tell you what takes away your freedom. What takes away your freedom is not being able to see your kid, not being able to go to the football game or baseball game, not being able to see your mom or dad sick in the hospital, not being able to do the things. That's what's cost our freedom. And it's been the failure of this president to deal to deal with this virus, and he knew about it. He knew the detail of it. He knew it in clear terms. Imagine had he at the State of the Union stood up and said, when back in January I wrote an article for USA Today saying, we've got a pandemic, we got a real problem. Imagine if he had said something.
Okay, if he had you wrote that editorial in USA Today, Joe, in which you said coronavirus could be bad. Then you proceeded to hold in-person rallies up until the first week of March. March. At no point did you call for universal masking in February. At no point did you call for lockdowns in February. At no point did anybody do any of that stuff. This revisionist history, whereby Democrats just don't exist in the narrative, is truly incredible. Joe Biden actually made the claim yesterday that if Trump had done his job, every single human being who has died from COVID would still be alive. That is patently nuts. I mean, like, there's no evidence this is the case at all.
If the president had done his job, from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people, I'm not making this up, just look at the data. Look at the data.
You are making that up. There is no evidence that that is the case. None. If the president had done his job since the beginning. You held rallies until March, you doof. Okay, but of course, again, it's very easy to sit outside because when a bad thing happens and the person in power is in power, you can easily blame them. And if you're the media, you just go right along with it. Then, of course, Joe Biden jumped on William Barr. So William Barr is the attorney general, of course. And yesterday, Barr gave a speech talking about, at Hillsdale College, talking about the DOJ. And in the middle of his Q&A, he was talking about the COVID lockdowns, and he said they were a radical intrusion on liberty. So let's actually play the clip of Bill Barr so you get the full context as to what he's saying here.
Stay-at-home orders is like house arrest. Other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history. We have epidemics and pandemics. This is a very serious one, a grave one, but they come and you know, just because something is a medical crisis, it doesn't give a complete blank check to executive rule.
So it was the slavery reference that, of course, he's getting hit over. He was not comparing the moral quandary of slavery and the moral evil of slavery to the morality of lockdowns, you idiot. He's explicitly denouncing that. He's explicitly taking that and saying slavery to the side, which is a whole different issue because of its inherent moral evil. Right, that putting that issue aside, if you're just talking about restrictions on daily movement by Americans, this is the greatest restriction on daily movement by Americans in American history, which by the numbers is essentially true. He's explicitly saying it's not like slavery. And so the media go, well, he's comparing it to slavery. And then they ask Joe Biden. It's like, Joe, what do you here? Here's a brick. Would you like to hit William Barr with it? And Joe's like, well, I can't swing it very hard and I can't lift it very high. But I guess. All right. He's sick. He's a bad man.
Do you think the comments by the attorney general contribute to people, I mean, encourage people not to wear masks?
Sure. I mean, quite frankly, they're sick. Think about it. Did you ever think, any of you, you'd hear attorney general say that following the recommendations of the scientific community to save your and other people's lives is equivalent to slavery, people being put in chains? You lost your freedom because he didn't act.
I have a question. In that sentence, he said you lost your freedom because you didn't act. You lost your freedom. He's saying that it's a restriction. You lost your freedom seems like a restriction on liberty. Also, he deliberately did not compare it to slavery. He explicitly took slavery and put it to the side. And so Joe Biden, who apparently doesn't speak English or is wildly dishonest or both, is like, no, he was comparing it to slavery. He was absolutely 100% not comparing it to slavery. If I say to you that other than this thing, this is a really bad thing here. Like, other than, here's a really bad thing that's happening. And other than this much worse and very different thing, this is a very bad thing. That is not me saying the two things are equivalent. It's me deliberately disassociating the two things, you morons. Okay, but again, Joe Biden, he was treated with kid gloves. By the way, Politico put out an actual tweet in which they admitted this, right? Here's Politico's tweet. If ABC's event with President Trump was an icy grilling, CNN's drive-in conversation with Joe Biden yesterday was more like an affable reunion of old acquaintances. Yeah, no bleep. Yeah, that is pretty damned obvious. Affable acquaintance between old friends. Yeah, I got that. I got that, CNN, most trusted name in news. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Just days before the High Court convenes for the new judicial year, one of its beloved justices passes.
The U.S. Supreme Court has announced that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the longest-serving woman on the U.S. Supreme Court, has died at the age of 87. In a statement, the court said Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died this evening, surrounded by her family at her home in Washington, D.C., due to complications of metastatic pancreas cancer. Ginsburg was a strong liberal voice on issues dividing the nation, battling cancer for years. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
President Trump, who was speaking at a rally in Minnesota at the time, did not get the news until after he was finished and was ready to board Air Force One. He was quick to call Ginsburg an amazing woman who led an amazing life. The vacancy and who fills it sure to be a prime topic with only 45 days until the election. SRN News will have a special report on the death of Justice Ginsburg at 40 past the hour on many of these same stations. A majority of President Trump supporters plan to cast their ballots on Election Day, while about half of Biden's backers plan to vote by mail. That's according to a new poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research that finds 54% of voters say they'll vote before polls open on Election Day. Hundreds of thousands of people still without power along the Alabama coast and the Florida Panhandle in the aftermath of Hurricane Sally. After an aerial tour of the Orange Beach area, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey says Sally was a slow-moving disaster for Gulf communities.
I'm sure it could be worse. But what I've seen this morning in the flyover of Gulf Shores and Orange Beach and Fort Morgan, it's really, really bad.
And they say now the damage is in the millions. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Fifth Season Financial is a licensed lender. Not available in all states. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com for details.
Are you or a loved one suffering financial hardship as a result of an advanced stage illness like cancer, Alzheimer's, or ALS? Are the financial side effects of your medical fight reducing your quality of life and causing stress and worry? Did you know that you could be eligible for a special loan to access funds locked up in your life insurance policy? Text the word LIFE to 411-411 now. Fifth Season may be able to help you address your financial needs through our Funds for Living program. This simple-to-use program helps you access value that is locked up in your life insurance policy by lending you money against the face amount of your policy. This loan is not like other loans where you need to make monthly payments, and it only gets repaid out of the proceeds of the life insurance policy. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and get approved quickly. Fifth Season Financial cares, and we're there for you for life. Text LIFE to 411-411. Text LIFE to 411-411.
French students are wondering if mandatory masks offer enough protection in their crowded lecture halls. For the latest, we turn to correspondent Charles de Ledesma.
At least a dozen COVID-19 clusters have emerged since French campuses and classrooms opened this month, a warning sign for countries elsewhere in Europe, where most universities are resuming soon. At France's academies, like the centuries-old Sorbonne University, the main change is mandatory mask wearing at all times. But keeping physical distances appears impossible in many places. Students describe situations where there's no soap to wash their hands and where rooms, sometimes with no windows to provide fresh air, are not disinfected between lectures. And also no spare chairs, so late arrivals have to sit on the floor. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the NBA's most valuable player for the second year in a row.
Antetokounmpo received 85 of 100 first-place votes in the balloting. The Bucks forward averaged 29.5 points, 13.6 rebounds, and 5.6 assists, despite ranking just 71st in the league in minutes per game. The Greek Freak is the third player in NBA history to be named MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same season. Lakers forward LeBron James received the other 15 first-place votes and has now finished among the top three in MVP voting 11 times in his career. Rockets guard James Harden finished third, his fourth consecutive top three finish. I'm Dave Ferry.
Patrick Reed, the leader through 36 holes of the U.S. Open following Thursday's 4-under-66, one shot ahead of Bryson DeChambeau. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are heading home, as is defending champ Gary Woodland, Woods shot a 77 to miss the cut. More at townhall.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the community fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
What is community? A location? A place to live and work? Or is it something more profound, a force deeper than words can describe, uniting us to reach out and support each other? No matter the trial or circumstance, we are one. Shasta Regional Medical Center is proud to stand strong with our community. We know we can get through anything when we do it together. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
We want so much from them, and what they deliver to us like turns out to be a real headache. We want so much from our corporations, and then what they deliver to us seems, you know, defective or problemic, or like causes the climate to warm, or it is unjust or unfair. The problem is always the case in democracy. The problem is us, and until we get over this attitude of wanting everything from everybody, essentially for free, we're going to have this problem.
We're speaking to P.J. O'Rourke. His new book is A Cry from the Far Middle, Dispatches from a Divided Land. So speaking of getting over it, it seems like one of the big obstacles to getting over our desire for everything while wanting responsibility for nothing is social media. That social media has allowed us to form these cliques where everybody agrees with us and where you beat everybody else over the head. My own view of politics has changed fairly radically in terms of who I have hope for. It used to be that my hope lay in people who are politically engaged. I think now my hope lies in people who are politically disengaged and paying no attention to what's going on in social media. You really go pretty strong after social media in the book. Maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, I got a chapter called Whose Bright Idea Was It to Make Sure Every Idiot in the World Was in Touch with Every Other Idiot? You know? Yeah, it's a we got to go back to the root of this thing, is that there was this idea current as early as the 50s and certainly very big in the 60s and 70s. Communicate. If we could only just communicate. If parents could communicate better with kids, we'd close that generation gap. If blacks could communicate better with whites, we would close that racial gap. You know, if America could only communicate better with the Soviet Union, we could end the Cold War. Lovely, lovely thoughts, all of them. You know, and they were kind of summed up by a guy named Marshall McLuhan, very, very, very big media theorist of the time, who said that television. Well, this is we're talking before computers, or before computers were you know, in our lap, and when they were in giant rooms that had to be air conditioned. He was talking about television. Thought television is going to create a global village, and everybody was like, "Oh, it takes a village to raise a child." We were all Hillary Clinton about this. We're going, "Oh, you know, a global village." And Marshall McLuhan was being interviewed on radio once up in Ottawa, Canada, and a radio interviewer said, "Dr. McLuhan, you said we were going to have a global village, and yet look at all this like violence and this hatred, and there's a war going on and riots in the cities and stuff." And McLuhan goes, "I said we were going to have a global village. I didn't say the villagers would like each other."
So looking at where we are as a country and in terms of liking each other, do you see any possibility of people coming back together? Because it does feel like this thing is coming apart at a rather radical level. I mean, over here at the Daily Wire, my company, I've lived my entire life in California. I was born in L.A. I've lived 36 years in L.A., except for a couple of years on the East Coast for law school. I'm leaving. I mean, I'm taking my 75-person company in L.A. We have employees elsewhere. We're moving to Nashville. It feels like the entire country is starting to polarize to such an extent. Do you think there's any coming together when it seems like a lot of common principles have been lost?
It's going to take a while. Yeah, no, I actually think, you know, people say, "Oh, America's never been this divided." But you know, I'm an old guy. You know, I was not only was I around for the 60s, I was a big participant in the 60s, out there dressed in hippie clown clothes, you know, trying to end the war in Vietnam by being a public jerk. I probably personally prolonged the Vietnam War by at least 10 minutes, you know, and my cohorts and I prolonged it for quite a while, or at least prolonged support for it. And so, oh, you know, we've never been so divided. I'm going, well, 1861, you know, we have been more divided than this. But it's going to take some getting over. You know, we have found ways to hate each other that we just didn't have only a very few years ago. Now you can lip sync your hatred on TikTok, unless Trump's ban has gone into effect, which incidentally I'm all for, and not for any ideological reason, but just because of the content of TikTok.
So
good move to Nashville.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, as you point out, I wonder if politics, I was talking about this a little bit earlier this week, that essentially we've become a lawn sign society, that we don't actually care about policy anymore. We really care about making sure that we feel morally superior to our neighbors, which is why what we really care about is putting a Black Lives Matter lawn sign on our lawn. Well, 3 feet away, there's a poor person vomiting in the gutter. It seems like, and you talk about this in your book, that so much of what's going on right now is cultural posturing without any sort of intellectual underpinnings. It's not really a philosophical difference so much as these things have become encoded in cultural differences and sort of the differences between what you call coastal and heartlander. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, the coastal and heartlander is like, it's a pretty simple division in the United States. Now, mind you, you're going to find a few coastals even in Nashville. I mean, coastals aren't all on the coast. They're in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and every other college town and so on. But it's like we've got this like class of know-it-alls, they know everything. You know, they know gluten-free, they know organic, they know fair traded, they know vegan, but they don't know hay from straw. They have become completely divorced. There was a great scene in that Clint Eastwood movie about the old guy who turns into a drug courier, where he comes across a young couple at the side of the road with a flat tire, and the guy's standing up on the berm with his cell phone trying to find a YouTube video on how to change a tire. Those are the people ruling the United States right now, and we need to take that back. And you're so right about the divisions without substance. I mean, not only are there no real philosophical differences or no substantive philosophical differences, there aren't even any practical differences. We refuse to even argue about this stuff on a practical level. I mean, it's like Obamacare. Obamacare is all about insurance. I don't give a damn about insurance. What I give a damn about is getting medical treatment. I want to make sure that everybody gets medical treatment, starting with me, you know. At my age, I may need it. You got this entire incredibly complicated, strange, amorphous bill that nobody has ever read, and it's all about insurance. You know, I mean, what about the doctor? What about the nurse? What about the orderly? What about the patient?
Well, the book by PJ O'Rourke, go check it out right now, A Cry from the Far Middle. PJ, great to talk to you, and congratulations on making it back to your home unscathed after crossing the country.
Thank you, Ben, and it was a real pleasure talking to you.
All righty, coming up, we're going to be joined by, wait for it, Nick Wallenda. Seriously, we're going to talk about, you know, like walking over volcanoes and such. It's going to be wild. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, you may have noticed the election in November, it's about one thing, turnout. The left has their turnout machine. The right needs its own turnout machine. The folks at Job Creators Network are making it easy to get involved. I get this question all the time. You know, you're deeply concerned about politics. You care a lot about what happens. But how exactly can you help? Here is the answer. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Become part of the biggest Get Out the Vote effort in conservative history. We've got a country to save. Doing nothing is not really an option at this point. Do a little, do a lot, do your part. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. Again, that is KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. You give them your name, email, zip code, and they will get you the most trusted voting information. They make it easy for you to help relatives or friends close and far get the information they need to vote and the tools to make sure they do. Reminders, issue education, so much more. Again, the fact is the left is not going to miss a House this year. They're not going to miss a mail-in ballot this year. They're not going to miss a relative on Facebook they can pressure into voting for Joe Biden by calling them racist. Well, the right needs its own Get Out the Vote effort. Job Creators Network is doing it, and you can get involved really, really easily. All you have to do is head on over to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. Again, that is KeepAmericaAmerica.com, and get involved in the biggest Get Out the Vote effort in conservative history. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be joined by Nick Wallenda. If you've ever wondered what it's like to walk over a volcano on a tightrope, get ready. This is for you. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org. Givewestwood.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, time for a fun guess. You wouldn't expect this. Joining us on the line is Nick Walenda, seventh generation member of the family circus, the famous circus family, the Flying Walendas. He holds 11 Guinness World Records for various feats. Was the first person to walk a tightrope stretched directly over Niagara Falls. Most recently, he walked over the lava lake of the active Masaya volcano on March 4th, 2020. He has a great book out called Facing Fear, relaying his life experiences. So, Nick, thanks for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So I have to ask, first and foremost, what possesses you to walk over enormously dangerous things? Like, well, I understand it's sort of the family business, but how did you decide, okay, I've decided to go into the family business?
Well, the family business sort of was, again, something I was born into. In fact, my family history dates back to the 1780s walking wires, so well over 200 years now. You could certainly say it's in my blood or in my DNA to walk wires. But the reason why I truly do these big spectacles is to inspire people that nothing is impossible. You know, early on in my career, it was about entertainment. It was about the circus world. And it was about carrying on that industry that my family had been in for so long. But the reality is, as my life progressed and I matured, I realized that I had this incredible platform and opportunity to really show people that nothing is impossible.
So does each one of these challenges differ, or is it sort of the same thing over and over? It's just that the green screen is different for you. So when you're walking over a volcano, is that the same thing as walking over Niagara, or how does that work?
No, very, very different. Very different rigging, very different engineering, very different training, preparation. For example, over Niagara Falls, I trained with heavy mists and wind machines that created 65-mile-an-hour winds. for the Grand Canyon, I trained with 90 mile an hour winds and in a dry setting where the wire was almost slippery because of the dust from the canyon. And then the volcano was just a whole other level. I had to train with heat suits on and extra weight and oxygen masks and oxygen deprivation masks, training for a wire that had in fact, that volcano emitted a substance that was extremely, almost like a grease that adhered to that wire. So it was very slippery. So every one is very, very different. And again, it's just all about how I train and prepare for each one.
So how close have you come to actually missing? I mean, because obviously you have to get every single step right. You only have to miss once. So how close have you gotten to being in a dangerous situation?
I would tell you there are many times throughout my career, I've literally walked thousands of miles on cables. So when you do something as long as I have, and literally since I was 18 months old, the challenge of doing that is you can become complacent. We become complacent. That's when accidents can happen. And the reality is the reason why I wrote this book was because of an accident that happened back in 2017 where I was training with my family to set a world record for the highest 4-level, 8-person pyramid on the wire. And as we made our way out on that wire, that pyramid collapsed. And thank God I did what I was trained my entire life to do, which was I was able to grab the wire. But 5 friends and family members, including my sister, weren't so lucky and were injured pretty severely. In fact, my sister was in a coma with internal bleeding and broken every bone in her face. She currently has 73 screws and plates in her face alone. And I did what everybody would expect and what we're all told, which is get back on the horse, or in our world, get back on the wire. So the following day, I got back on the wire. I do a lot of motivational speaking from the wire. So I was walking over Amalie Arena in Tampa, about 150 feet up, speaking to the audience, and went on to perform for the next 5 weeks straight, thinking that I did everything right. But the reality is what I was doing was burying that fear and that seed of fear that was planted in my head when that accident happened.
So how do you overcome that fear? Because obviously, you know, people in public positions, it's one thing to speak in front of large audiences and you know, be fearful of humiliation. It's another thing to fear, you know, falling into a volcano. So how do you overcome that?
Yeah, you know, it is really the power of the mind. You know, our minds are powerful tools, and the reality is we're in control of our thoughts. Our thoughts are not in control of us. So when I walk up to the edge of that volcano and there's a wire in front of me, rather than me fearing, I can say, well, I've trained and prepared for worst case scenarios. I've walked on a wire 5 times longer over the last week, and I've walked with heavy weights on, and I've walked with a deprivation mask that cuts my oxygen down to much beyond what I'll face while I'm out there over that volcano, and worse heat. So again, it's really much, very much a conversation in my head, and not allowing my mind to go to those negative places that our minds tend to want to go.
We're speaking with Nick Wallenda. His new book is Facing Fear, and of course, he makes a living walking over extraordinarily dangerous territory on a rope, which is like, I cannot even imagine. So, Nick, I have to ask you a very impolitic question, as though the past you have not been in politics. So here we go. When people watch you perform, do you think that they are watching you because they want you to succeed, or because they want to be watching if, God forbid, something bad happens? You know, this is sort of the same question as for NASCAR racers. Are people watching for the race, or are they watching for the crash?
I would tell you, I think it's a healthy mix of both. There are certainly a lot of people that watch for that accident. You know, everybody wants to be able to say, I was watching, I was tuned in when he slipped, when he fell. And I think there's a lot of people that are rooting for me as well. I think we're all, for some reason, our minds are attracted to that. Like, we drive by an accident, we all, you know, turn our heads as much as we can to follow and see what's going on. It's just something natural inside of us. Somewhat morbid, but there's an attraction to that, as you mentioned, just like a NASCAR. I think so many people are watching that. Probably half the people that are watching a NASCAR race are watching for the accident rather than for that checkered flag.
Well, Nick Wallenda, really appreciate the time. His latest book is Facing Fear, and I think that a lot of people can find inspiration in what you do. I mean, really making physical the toughness that everybody preaches, but, you know, I'll let you do it. I feel a little too much. But awesome. Actually, final question for you. How do you have a family. How does your family deal with the risk that you have to take?
You know, I've got 3 children and an amazing wife. My wife comes from 8 generations of circus and 7 on the other. She holds 2 Guinness World Records, including one for hanging by her teeth under a helicopter over Niagara Falls. So she's a daredevil herself. But my children were raised somewhat fearless. In fact, I couldn't be more proud of my boys. I've got a 22-year-old that's currently serving our country as a U.S. Marine, and then a 19-year-old that's serving our country in the Army, and a 17-year-old daughter who's about to go to nursing school. But again, I raised them to be fearless as well, and at least to know how to categorize that fear and use it for their good rather than an unhealthy way.
Well, tell your kids you say hello and say to thank you to from our show, and I'm sure all of our listeners to your sons really appreciate it. That's Nick Walenda. Check out his book, Facing Fear. Really appreciate the time, Nick.
Thanks so much.
All righty, coming up, we're going to be taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadero is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadero. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
That the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits. Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
What the situation is?
Okay, so I actually have an example of this. So I got a 10 out of 10 on an assignment. He sent us an article that we had to write an analysis on police reform. And I analyzed it, and the first two paragraphs were pretty much saying that all police reform needs to be done because black unarmed people are being shot by police. And then the rest of it says that it doesn't need it, – it's not a race problem. It's an American problem, and that's why we need to focus on it. And that I think criminal complaint review boards need to get more wages or something. And I said, well, blacks aren't being killed discriminately compared to whites in unarmed shootings, and I gave him percentages. And then he called me out in front of the whole class and just said that I was wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, there's nothing you can do when somebody says you're wrong. If you say – you know, I'm citing Washington Post statistics, so you should really argue with the Washington Post. You've done the best you can, and unfortunately, you know, professors are invested with a certain amount of authority, even though very often that authority is essentially unearned. So you did the best that you can. You can talk to other students outside of class, but, you know, all you can do is what you can do, Colin. I appreciate the call, and thanks for doing what you are doing. Minda in California, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Minda.
So, Benjamin, how is today treating you?
It is going okay. How are you doing?
You know, I looked up today and I saw blue sky instead of smoke, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a that was definitely an upside. We walked out of my house this morning and you saw the sky again, and you were reminded that no matter the insane ridiculousness of mankind's governance, you know, the world continues to spin.
So, as a fellow Californian, I'm actually really sad to see you go, but I understand. But I look forward to more great stuff from Daily Wire.
So, first of all, Minda, let me just say before we go any further, you should come too.
Yes.
Everybody should come too. Okay, here's the strategy. Seriously, here's the strategy.
Yes.
The strategy is California has more registered Republicans than any other state in the country. There are literally millions of registered Republicans in the state of California. If those millions of Republican voters were to leave California and leave the Democrats to their own devices and move to battleground states,
yes,
Arizona, Nevada, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, then we'd be much better off. So if you want to do something good for the country, leave California. It's over, man. It's over. The last one out, turn out the lights.
I am considering it. I have a generations-old family farm and elderly parents, so can't quite pull it off yet.
Yeah, well, move your parents, too. That's what I'm doing. My parents are coming with me. So go for it anyway.
So I did have – I kind of have my own theory on this, but I wanted to find out your thoughts on this. To what degree or allocation do you believe the far left actually believes the extreme gobbledygook they spew, or what portion of it knows it's garbage but finds it simply as a useful tool to club everybody else over the head and maintain power?
So I think that very few of them actually know it's garbage. I think most people tend to be sincere in their own belief systems. So I think there are some of them who believe what they're believing, but it's kind of, the answer is kind of halfway in between, meaning that even if it were not true, it would be a very valuable tool for clubbing people over the head. But the number of people who are actually deliberately malevolent, meaning they know that what they are saying is deeply false, but they just want to say it as a, mm-hmm. as an aspect of power, I think that that is pretty rare. I think people justify their own actions sort of in backwards fashion. People tend to come to a conclusion, which is power needs to be redistributed toward me. And then they create an entire sort of way of thinking that allows that justification to take place. So I'm not going to doubt their sincerity in most cases. I am going to doubt their ability to think things through and the morality of thinking things that are fundamentally untrue in the name of maximizing your own power.
Would I, as a non-Jewish individual, be allowed to attend a Jewish service like the one you would go to this evening if Governor Kendall wasn't on his power trip?
So the answer is yes. It depends on sort of which shul you're going to. Honestly, there are certain synagogues that I think are better for introduction than others. Chabad does a really good job of introducing people who don't know much to Judaism. I think if you walked into kind of a normal mainstream Orthodox synagogue, because everybody knows the routine, it would be sort of like a non-Catholic walking into a Latin mass because no English is spoken. There are no directions. It's like you kind of know the shul that I go to. Everybody knows the routine because everybody's been doing it for years. So you walk in, nobody says a single word of English. There are no page markers, really. But Chabad does a really good job of introducing people, and they will be very helpful if you're interested in doing something like that, for sure.
Ah, excellent. Thank you for your time. Have a lovely day.
Tyler in Massachusetts, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Tyler.
I guess I had a question about I have discussions with people about different topics, whether it's abortion, things like that. And I find that 9 times out of 10, the argument is based on false premises. We're arguing about letter F, and it's totally clear that they came to the wrong conclusions of letters A through E. So I'm kind of curious, when you're having an argument with somebody, is it really worth discussing it with them if you don't have time to go back through those other false premises?
So I think the answer is very often no. You can establish, as you say, within the first 45 seconds of a conversation, whether somebody is so apart from you on foundational principles that a conversation is completely impossible. And that's good. You've established clarity, and you just saved yourself an hour of time. So that's not a bad thing. But I think that analyzing whether a conversation is worthwhile, I've encouraged people to do this for years. You actually have to determine whether a conversation is worth having, because we only have a certain number of limited breaths that we take on this planet, wasting a lot of it on people who fundamentally disagree on principles like objective truth exists, biology is a thing, right? Why are we even having this conversation if you can't agree on really foundational things? Freedom matters, individuals have rights. Maybe there's something to argue about, maybe there's not, but if there's not, then really don't waste the time.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And a lot of times you're seeing signs and things like that at protests, and it's like, you read the sign or the Facebook post or something like that, and it kind of just feels like, okay, there's all this before stuff that we don't even agree on in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Don't waste your time. Tyler, I appreciate the call. Ryan in California, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Ryan.
I just have a quick question. I know you recently moved from L.A. to Tennessee. Is that correct? I just want to see what you think California is going to look like in the next 10 to 15 years here. A lot of these tech companies are kind of jumping. I know Elon Musk sold a lot of property in California. He's looking to move to Austin. I just wanted to see your thoughts on that.
So a couple of things. One, just for clarification purposes, at Daily Wire, our whole company is moving to Nashville. I'm splitting time between Florida and Nashville, spending some time at HQ, and then my family is down in Florida because there's a bigger Jewish community over there, just so that people don't get the wrong impression that I'm buying a giant palatial mansion just directly outside of Nashville. In any case, as far as what the next 10 to 15 years look like in California, get ready for the hellscape, dude. Everybody out. Go. I mean, if you're a major company, I've talked to more CEOs in the last 3 months who are looking seriously at exiting the state than ever. I mean, it's astonishing. I'm talking about CEOs of major companies that are far larger than my own. Now, our company has about 75 employees that we are taking with us in California. I'm talking about companies of thousands of employees who are looking at outsourcing, getting out of the state entirely, moving out fast. I can't tell you the number of people who have come to me in the last few days and said, like, you're leaving? Well, I guess maybe I should leave too. And the reason that I'm getting a lot of that is because over the next 10 to 15 years, what's going to happen is the tax base is going to erode. They keep raising the taxes on everybody who is wealthy. Everybody who can afford to leave happens to be wealthy. So all the wealthy people leave. They take with them all the jobs. In taking with them all the jobs, they create higher unemployment, which causes the state to want to tax everybody who is left at a higher rate in order to pay for all the unemployment and all the benefits, which means that more people leave. They create rent control in order to lower the rent, but actually end up driving developers out of the business. But then they need more tax dollars in order to subsidize low-income housing. But they have to raise the taxes in order to do that. And you're seeing this cycle repeat over and over and over. I mean, this is how you turn a great city like Detroit into a crappy city like Detroit. And this happens everywhere that liberal governance takes over and has one-party rule. So it will not be a shock if people start to leave California in droves, particularly people who are upper class in terms of income or upper middle class. And then eventually anybody who really needs a job is going to be forced to leave because all the companies are not going to be based in California anymore. Everybody seems to assume that the excellent weather out here is justification enough for paying insane levels of taxation, dealing with insane levels of regulation, having to worry about every ridiculous piece of stupidity coming out of Sacramento. That is just wrong. It is not true. I mean, we've been thinking about moving out of California for at least the last 3 to 4 years. In the last 2 years, that has really accelerated. And then in the last 6 months, it dramatically accelerated. And my wife was very anti-moving out of California, even though I was paying extraordinary levels of taxation in California. And I will be paying really a lot of, like, the amount of money that I pay to the state of California is unconscionable. And there's good news and there's bad news. One, I'm making a lot of money, so I can afford a lot of taxes. Two, my tax dollars are going to a bunch of causes I completely disagree with and think are terrible and are bad for the country and are bad for the state. And so I think it's kind of immoral to subsidize that. Beyond that, we were even willing to stick it out then. The degradation of the quality of life, the complete shutdown over the pandemic, despite the fact that rates in California were extremely low at the beginning and now are extremely low again and everything is still shut down, the willingness to allow full-scale riots in the center of the city, not just in high-crime areas, but to allow it to bleed over onto Melrose and onto Rodeo Drive. And like there's just, over time, I don't see, this was my main argument to my wife. It was like, it's livable right now. It may be livable for 5 years, but 10 years are we going to be living here? 15 years are we going to be living here? And will it have been worth it? I don't know. So I have nothing but dark visions for California's future, which is why, you know, I'm saying to everybody, you know, get out while the getting's good.
Yeah, again, Ben, thank you for answering my question. Can I give a shout out to my brother? He's also a huge fan.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Yeah, so his name's Randy. Randy, shout out to you. See you soon. Ben, thank you for answering.
Appreciate it, Ryan. We'll take more calls in just a second at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. First, has your energy level been flagging? I mean, that wouldn't be surprising. This is a very tiring time in American life. But here at the Daily Wire, we cannot afford to let our energy flag. My employees have to keep up with this brain, which is just clicking away at extraordinarily hamster-like rates. That is why you need Super Beats soft chews. Indeed. Super Beats soft chews. Combine non-GMO beets with a powerful, clinically researched ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. These aren't just regular beets. These are Super Beats. You can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere. Get the blood pressure support you need and the energy that you want. Our DW team, they guzzle them constantly. One of the reasons is that they can make sure they hit the reverb on time. When I say Super Beats, support your heart health with delicious Super Beats shoes today. Get your Super Beats shoes at getsuperbeats.com/Ben. When you buy two bags, they throw in the third for free. That is getsuperbeats.com/Ben for your special deal on Super Beats. Alrighty, coming up, more of your phone calls at 855-236-3228. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 30?
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Take the census today. For every person that isn't counted, Shasta County could lose up to $1,000 per year for the next 10 years. We know we can do great things when we come together and that there is power in our numbers. Do your part. Check your mailbox or front door for your paper form. You can also take the census by phone at 844-330-2020 or online at my2020census.gov. By taking a few minutes to fill out the 9-question confidential survey, you can help shape the future of our communities.
Is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Our number 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. Darcy in Melbourne, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it.
Hi, Ben. It's Darcy here. Firstly, I just want to shout out my parents who are both police officers and thank them for their service.
Absolutely.
Currently I'm living in Victoria, Melbourne, in Australia, which is currently under the harshest restrictions in the entire world. We're under the government of a far-left radical government led by Dan Andrews. Currently, I'm only allowed outside for 2 hours a day. All businesses are closed. And yesterday, we had 28 cases in a population of 6 million. I just want to ask, what's the best case against harsh lockdowns?
So, first of all, the only purpose of a lockdown, we were told by everyone, was to prevent the curve from rising above the level of hospital capacity, right? That was literally the entire reason for a lockdown. It was not to crush the virus. It was not to prevent the virus from spreading. It was to prevent the virus from overwhelming the hospitals. Well, when you're talking about, as you say, the number of cases in Australia essentially being zero, I mean, that is what you're talking about right now. And I'm looking at the daily number of cases in Australia right now.
Yeah.
According to Worldometers, there are a grand total of diagnosed September 17th, 34 cases in all of Australia diagnosed.
Yeah.
And the number of deaths, coronavirus deaths in Australia yesterday was 8. Okay. And those are reported from prior days. Doesn't mean 8 people died yesterday. To lock down millions of people on this basis is patently crazy. And the fact that so many people have gone along with it demonstrates that people are so fearful that they will basically give any amount of power to government so long as government tells them they're protecting them from death. You're seeing the same thing in New York City right now. The number of diagnosed cases in New York City 2 days ago was 64 in a county of 1.629 million people. There were zero deaths. They're still not reopening the schools. They're not reopening the restaurants totally. At a certain point here, you have to say to yourself, okay, this has nothing to do with reason, and this has everything to do with government control. It's become political because there are ways to do this that are somewhat safe, right? You can reopen, you can do the social distancing, you can have people wear masks in crowded areas, and particularly if you're young and healthy, it is not the worst thing in the world if you are 20 and you get this thing. It isn't. Your chances of dying if you're 20 and healthy are very, very, very low, and more people getting it who are healthy and young means fewer vectors for transmission. I don't understand when it became inherently a bad thing to become immune to COVID-19 if you are young and healthy. I understand why you don't want it if you're 60. I understand why you don't want a 20-year-old going home and infecting dad. But if you are 20 years old and you're in college and you're infecting a bunch of other 20-year-olds who are going to be asymptomatic or have a mild cold, and then they are going to pass it to the other 20-year-olds, that's actually not a terrible thing. That's actually kind of a good thing because none of those people, after they recover, are going to be able to pass that to mom and dad. And we are now finding out that the T-cell immunity that is present in the population is anywhere from 20 to 50% of the population has a pre-existing resistance to COVID-19, which means that the herd immunity rates here are not 70 or 80%, which is why the antibody rates in places like Sweden are like 20%, and they're wide open in Sweden at this point, essentially. They have a little bit of social distancing and a little bit of mask wearing, and very little mask wearing, mostly social distancing, and they're down to basically zero cases and zero deaths. All lockdown does is delay the spread of the disease. So the only reason to lock down, truly, is if you believe that a vaccine is directly around the corner that's going to solve this thing tomorrow, or you believe that there's a therapeutic that's directly around the corner that's going to solve things tomorrow, so the delay is buying you time to solve the problem. If that is not what you're thinking, and you think the lockdowns themselves crush this thing, you're out of your mind.
Do you believe if Joe Biden gets in that this could be taken across America? Because currently, right now, the Victorian government is trying to pass legislation that would mean that any public servant will be able to arrest any citizen if they believe that someone will break the extremely tight COVID restrictions in Victoria, which means that they'll believe that they'll stay outside for more than 2 hours a day. Do you think that could go across America?
I think you'd have a real tough time implementing it in the red states. That's for sure. I think that Texans are not really going to be up for, as a general matter, being restricted to their houses for 2 hours a day when you have a low caseload and very low deaths. Again, it is pretty incredible how all of our brains have been warped by the risk of the virus. The virus is risky, particularly for people who are older and people who have pre-existing conditions. There's no question about that. But the very basic notion that we have to lock down the entire society on this basis is radical. I mean, it's unprecedented, really, in human history to lock down entire societies of healthy people based on the fact that there are sick people. And we know who the sick people probably will be, right? We know who are most likely to succumb to the disease. So instead of protecting and shielding the vulnerable and allowing everybody else to go back to work and back to business, instead we have decided to, what, lock everybody in their house? Like, there is no rational response to this that looks like this.
Thanks, Ben. And just a quick shout-out to Luke Boyd. I know you're going through a tough time.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Darcy. And, enjoy those 2 hours a day that they let you out of your cage, dude. I mean, my goodness. Cheryl in Texas here on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Cheryl.
Hi. Okay, so I live in Texas, and actually you just mentioned Texas just a second ago, and you've been mentioning how Texas and Florida have handled the problem so well, and you've also mentioned how the left states, you know, they've locked down people forever, but I live in a right state, right? My state governor is Republican, but he keeps making these promises. He says, you know, I watch the press briefings. I keep up with the politics. I do. And at first he said, I'm implementing mandates on the people to keep the economy going. He said this at the beginning of July. But at the beginning of August, he says, I'm keeping the mandates until hospitalizations are under 10%. And then just yesterday, another press briefing, and he's continuing the mandate. Now, all Texans, okay, none of us are staying home anymore. We're all going out. A lot of restaurants have defied the capacity order. But everyone is still wearing the mask. So I just want to know if you think that the mask mandates will end. When will people stop that particular
behavior? So
I'm just wondering if you have a prediction.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the mask mandates, my guess is that after, you know, another couple of months, people are just going to start taking off the mask when they feel like the threat has receded, which is you know, natural human behavior. When you see that lots of people around you are getting sick, you wear the mask. When it seems that this has receded, people are going to start taking off the mask, and then probably you will get a little bit of an uptick in caseload, and that will be that. You're right. There's been a lot of flack that Greg Abbott has gotten for not opening up faster. Yesterday, he did announce that most of Texas would allow business to increase capacity to 75%, including retail stores, restaurants, and office buildings. That applies to 19 of the state's 22 hospital regions. The three hospital regions excluded are Rio Grande Valley, Laredo, and Victoria. He says those are still in the quote-unquote danger zone. So that's the current status in Texas. But I know that there are a lot of Texans who are ticked that Abbott didn't reopen faster. And frankly, I think that there is they are not entirely wrong. All righty. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died Friday evening. She was 87. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports President Trump remembers her as an amazing woman.
The president learned of Ginsburg's death after finishing a campaign rally in Minnesota just before boarding Air Force One.
Whether you agreed or not, she was an amazing woman who led an amazing life.
During the president's campaign event, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows tweeted his prayers and condolences, describing Ginsburg as a trailblazer, a dedicated public servant, and an inspiration to so many.
Her death just over 6 weeks before Election Day is likely to set off a heated battle over whether President Trump should nominate and the Republican-led Senate should confirm her replacement, or if the seat should remain vacant until the outcome of the November election is known. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is pledging a vote in the Senate quickly to replace Ginsburg as soon as President Trump makes his pick. Meanwhile, the president announced he's releasing $13 billion in assistance to repair the damage in Puerto Rico from Hurricane Maria 3 years ago and help restore its economy. Meanwhile, residents along parts of the Gulf Coast, hundreds of thousands of them still without power, as the aftermath of Hurricane Sally is continuing, officials assessing millions of dollars in damage. Congressman Bradley Byrne says Alabama's coastal communities were hard hit by damage from the hurricane as well as flooding.
For Baldwin County, this storm was worse than Hurricane Ivan, perhaps as bad or worse than Hurricane Frederick. Mobile County has some damage, and they're coming through it okay. We've got some flooding up in Escambia County. We've got to help them.
Record-shattering hurricane season notched another milestone. Forecasters ran out of traditional names for storms. More at townhall.com.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Good news coming out of the automotive industry.
Ford says it will add 300 jobs at a new factory that's being built to assemble batteries and manufacture an electric version of the F-150 pickup truck. The new plant's being built in Dearborn, Michigan, where Ford is starting to produce a new version of the F-150 that's due in showrooms this November. Ford says the new electric truck will go on sale in mid-2022. Ford also plans a plug-in gas-electric hybrid version. Ford's F-Series pickup is the top-selling vehicle in the U.S. Keith Peters reporting.
The Hawaii Supreme Court heard arguments Friday on the legality of issuing licenses to foreign workers in Hawaii's long-line commercial fishing fleet, which for years has been under scrutiny after an investigation revealed claims of human trafficking and questionable labor practices. You can check out breaking news and you can read all the best analysis. They're both at townhall.com. In the world of sports, the U.S. Open has become a war of attrition this year. We get the latest from correspondent Graham Agars, who's keeping a watch.
Wingfoot bared his teeth during the second round of the U.S. Open, and an even par 70 was enough to give Patrick Reed the lead after 36 holes.
I feel like I left a decent amount of shots out there. I feel like I was a little loose with some shots off tee and also irons, and to be able to feel like that and come out and shoot even par around a day like today is definitely a positive.
Reed is at 4-under, but leads by just one from Bryson DeChambeau and by two from Harris English, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, and Justin Thomas. Thomas fell out of the first day lead with a struggling second round, 73. Jason Kokrak, at 1-under, is the only other player under par. Defending champion Gary Woodland joined Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson among the big names to miss the cut. I'm Graham Agars.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron Dry.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Red Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Redding Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar.
Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. PRMI is an equal housing lender. This is not commitment to lend. Richmond L. Branch Manager, NMLS, number 1067640. PRMI, NMLS, 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 years or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for additional sources of income, this could be an answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your monthly payment and extend the life of your existing retirement cash. Reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, and the first step in seeing if a reverse mortgage is right for you is to become educated on the product. I'll be happy to help with that. I'm Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage Incorporated, and if a reverse mortgage fits, then your life just got a whole lot easier. I specialize in reverse mortgages. My experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call me today. I'd love to help. 530-722-4579 or go to Rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us. For a better us.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
To children of minority backgrounds who should be uplifted, not disparaged. Teaching this horrible doctrine to our children is a form of child abuse in the truest sense of those words.
He is correct about this. He then continued by saying that he was going to create a board, a national board, to evaluate public education. And he said it's time for patriotic education. People went nuts. Online, they went nuts. How dare you say patriotism? The American flag is controversial these days. You're supposed to kneel for it. You're supposed to kneel for the national anthem. So how dare you suggest that American children are to be indoctrinated in the idea that America's good? Instead, we should indoctrinate them in the idea that America is evil, obviously. Here was Trump calling for patriotic education. This made people absolutely insane.
The only path to national unity is through our shared identity as Americans. That is why it is so urgent that we finally restore patriotic education to our schools. Today, I'm also pleased to announce that I will soon sign an executive order establishing a national commission to promote patriotic education. It will be called the 1776 Commission.
Okay, this is a good thing. The media went nuts. Nuts. Yamiche Alcindor, a faux journalist over at NPR, you pay for her, by the way, she works for NPR. She tweeted out, Trump just announced he will soon be signing an executive order establishing a, quote, national commission to promote patriotic education called the 1776 Commission. It is unclear what that means, but he has been trashing the 1619 Project, which aims to educate the nation with facts. No, it doesn't. It's pseudo-history. It is factless. It is ridiculous. It is a narrative. You know who knows that it's a narrative? The founder of it, Nicole Hannah-Jones, who's awful, the de facto editor of the New York Times. She tweeted out back in July, quote, I've always said the 1619 Project is not a history. It is a work of journalism that explicitly seeks to challenge the national narrative, explicitly seeks to challenge the national narrative, and therefore the national memory. The project has always been as much about the present as it is the past. In other words, we are misteaching history in order so that we can achieve certain conclusions about the evils of the American system. And Trump's like, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to fund that from the federal level. Good for him. But apparently, this means he's like Putin. Julia Jaffe, who's a moron, she tweeted out yesterday, You know who else is really into using the government to promote patriotic education in schools? I feel like I don't even need to say it anymore. But I will. It's Putin. It's Putin. Seriously. If you say that you want kids to be patriotic about the country, you're now Vladimir Putin. Hitler Youth trended yesterday on Twitter after Trump said patriotic education. Hitler Youth. Now, you see, we have to overtly train children that America is evil and terrible in every possible way because this will somehow make America better. A pretty incredible moment that we are now living in when it is considered controversial for the president of the United States to point out that maybe kids should not be indoctrinated in bullcrap narratives about how terrible America is. And meanwhile, Joe Biden did a softball interview with CNN yesterday. It was so softball that even leftist media members are beginning to recognize that it is softball. Politico had a headline on Twitter. It read this: if ABC's event with President Trump was an icy grilling, CNN's drive-in conversation with Joe Biden yesterday was more like an affable reunion of old acquaintances. Yeah, no kidding. No bleep, Sherlock. CNN, meanwhile, Oliver Darcy and Brian Stelter, they wrote, of course they are treated differently. The notion that Trump should be interviewed in the same fashion as Biden is absurd. Trump has no allegiance to the truth. It shows every single time he's in front of a camera. He lies, misleads, promotes conspiracy theories at an unprecedented rate in modern American politics. Oh, so you see, it's okay to not ask Biden tough questions because Trump is bad, guys. We have to ask Trump tough questions and Biden easy questions because Trump's a bad person. That's not journalism. That's just activism. So activism last night, Biden gets asked a bunch of softball questions about everything, and he still seems to confuse himself. So he's asked about the Green New Deal. Halfway through his answer, he suddenly starts vamping about ventilating schools, which has nothing to do with the Green New Deal. And then he realizes where he is and starts to get back into the Green. Like, he is not with it. I'm sorry, he's not. You can make him president. You can. You can vote for him. You can say he's better than the alternative. Fine. But please do not try to tell me that Joe Biden is with it. He is not.
There's so much we can do and still make it better for people. We're going to invest in close to $1 trillion over time in the near time for infrastructure. We're going to build green infrastructure. For example, I propose that we spend $100 billion on making sure our schools have the right ventilation, making sure schools, in fact, are safe, making sure schools are in a position where they are not generating the use of more energy.
Okay, like what now? Also, he jabbered about chicken poop. That was the thing that happened yesterday, so that was good.
In the United States, in my state of Delaware, we have a $4 billion industry, chicken and poultry, and all the manure, quite frankly, that is a consequence of chickens. And so it's polluting the Chesapeake Bay. What we found out, we've invested a lot of money. We found out you can pelletize this and take out the methane, so you're in a position where you can use that fertilizer without the damage that was being done before. The same way with horse manure and cow manure and pig manure.
I'm sorry, the question was, would you like fries with that? Like, the lady who asked him the question is looking at him like, what are you even jabbering about right now? What are you talking about? But, of course, the main theme of the night is that Joe Biden is a very empathetic man. He's a very empathetic old man. And because he's empathetic. And Donald Trump isn't empathetic. So if you like empathy, and I like empathy, and we all like empathy, elect this old doddering codger who may fall over tomorrow and leave cackling Kamala Harris as the president of the United States. By the way, the notion that Joe Biden is overtly, like, is super honest, which is what Brian Stelter says, right? Biden gets asked different questions than Trump because he's super honest. Here is Joe Biden claiming that if Trump had done his job, nobody would have died from COVID. It is hard to imagine a more dishonest statement than this.
If the president had done his job from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people. I'm not making this up. Just look at the data. Look at the data.
Here is the Washington Post. And the Washington Post has to soft pedal how much Biden lies. So their headline on fact-checking him was, Joe Biden CNN town hall, an occasional whopper. Oh, occasional, was it? Here was their take on Joe Biden claiming that no one would have died from COVID if Trump weren't president. Quote, actually, Biden is making this up. There is no data to support this. Even if the president had moved rapidly in January to deal with the coronavirus and been able to persuade the Chinese leadership to be more forthcoming about the situation, even nations that have been praised for their handling of the pandemic, like South Korea, New Zealand, and Iceland, have suffered some deaths. In the U.S., with 50 states run by governors, policies have varied greatly. Trump has been faulted for not articulating a national plan, but he would have had trouble persuading every governor to follow the exact same path. That's the Washington Post. He just kept telling these lies over and over. He said that he wrote an article for USA Today, and I said we have a real problem. The dude was doing open events in March. He was doing in-person events in March. He also said that we should expect another 215,000 dead by January, but if we wore a mask, we'd save 100,000. Yeah, that's, again, that IMHE model, which is nonsense. It's just a bad model. So good times with Joe Biden. Also, one major quote-unquote blooper, according to the Washington Post, in the middle of his speech, in the middle of this town hall, he claimed guys like me who were first in my family to go to college. He was the first on his father's side to go to college. He was not the first in his whole family. Like, his entire mother's family went to college. And apparently, he stole that claim, according to Molly Hemingway, from Neil Kinnock. So we're now back in 1988. Joe Biden, though, very trustworthy. I've been told he doesn't need to be asked tough questions. Also, Joe Biden, he has no actual policies. So he's asked about the national mask mandate again and acknowledged he can't actually enforce it. So this means he actually has no policy, of course.
I would like to see the governors enforce mask wearing, period. I can do that on federal property. As president, I will do that. On federal land, I'd have the authority. If you're on federal land, you must wear a mask. In a federal building, you must wear a mask. And we could have a fine for them not doing it. Look, this is about saving people's lives.
Okay, so good luck. Seriously, like, we're going to stop the pandemic because you can't wear a mask when you go to the federal building in downtown L.A.? Sure. Well done, Joe Biden. Coming up, we're going to get to Joe Biden, Captain Science here, on vaccines. Because as it turns out, Joe Biden on vaccines, not super scientific. First, let us talk about the fact that you are not smiling these days. Who is smiling these days? I mean, things are really kind of nasty out there. But at some point in the future, you will smile again. And when you do, you want those teeth to be straight. Me too. I would like my teeth to look wonderful. That's why I've been using Candid. Candid clear aligners. They are comfortable, removable, practically invisible, unlike wire braces. So you can transform that smile without anybody noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. It's all done from the comfort and convenience of your home. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. Plus, the supervising orthodontist will be with you every step of the way. With Candid, your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan, so you never have to wonder how you're doing. You'll always know, which is just awesome. Start straightening your teeth today, right now. All my listeners can save $75 on Candid's starter kit. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. Take advantage of the limited time offer. Save $75 on your starter kit today by heading on over to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. Alrighty, coming up, we get to the Democrats who continue to claim that it's very bad to polarize politics around COVID. So why do they keep doing it? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
He was the heart of your family, and he taught you our history. He helped you fix your first flat. He was the best backyard DJ around, and every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect. Honor, share, StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit GiveWestwood.org, GiveWestwood.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Democrats have their talking points that Trump is terrible on COVID. Their take is vaccines are bad if they're developed under the Trump administration. Also, Republican governors are extremely bad. Also, blue governors are extremely good. And if you distinguish between red and blue and you're a Republican, you are also extremely bad. Democrats went nuts yesterday because Trump, during a presser, he pointed out that if you don't count the blue states and how they've handled this thing, that the numbers are actually a lot better. Now, that's true. It's not supremely helpful. Right, because, again, nobody really knew how to deal with the pandemic very well in the beginning. The only real activity you can fault people for is what should have been obvious from the beginning, which is protect the people in nursing homes, protect the elderly, protect the vulnerable, which everybody failed to do in New York, New Jersey, Michigan, etc. But let's be real about this. The division between red states and blue states on COVID has been pushed by the media and pushed by the Democrats since the very beginning. Ron DeSantis was evil for not shutting down Jacksonville beaches. Doug Ducey was evil for not fully shutting down the economy of Arizona. Kirsty Noem in South Dakota is still evil for not having shut down South Dakota, which, by the way, currently has a 4.8% unemployment rate and not tons of death. So it was Democrats who decided to make this a red-blue issue. I've said since the beginning, I don't understand why this should be a red-blue issue. You should actually follow the best scientific procedures, and then you should alleviate lockdown when it appears that lockdown is no longer achieving what it was originally supposed to achieve, namely avoiding the overwhelm of the hospitals. I am the one who's been saying since the beginning that you should follow the actual recommendations of people who are examining the data. It was Democrats who immediately went to red states are mishandling this and blue states are. They were saying that while Ron DeSantis had no cases in Florida. Okay, but meanwhile, Democrats are very angry that Trump mentioned the difference between red states and blue states in terms of deaths per million. And by the way, out of the top 11 places in the United States, including D.C., deaths per million, I believe 8 of them are blue. Just for the record, here was Chuck Schumer saying that Trump is monstrous and demented for distinguishing blue states, which is weird because I'm old enough to remember when the Democrats were saying that all the red states were monstrous and demented for even opening. The Atlantic ran a headline about Georgia saying that it was Brian Kemp's experiment in human sacrifice to reopen Georgia. Here is Chuck Schumer.
What kind of person looks at the number of dead citizens in the country he is supposed to lead and in an attempt to glamorize himself dismisses every American who died in a state that didn't support the president politically? What a disgrace. It's monstrous. Not a shred of empathy. What kind of demented person would say that those American lives don't count?
No one said the American lives don't count. No one did that. I mean, if anybody has degraded American lives in places like New York, by the way, it was Andrew Cuomo who built a papier-mâché mountain of death as tribute to himself. To show how wonderfully he had handled it. He made a poster to himself with a curve showing dead people making light of death. Also, do you remember the DNC? It wasn't that long ago. They literally took a woman whose dad died of COVID and voted for Trump and said he was an idiot and it was his own fault he died because he listened to Donald Trump. They degraded the value of every Trump supporter who had died of COVID by basically saying they brought it on themselves. Meanwhile, James Clyburn makes a completely unbased accusation saying that Trump refused to act on COVID because it was hitting blue states. Like, I'm going to need some evidence that it was specifically because Trump hates the blue states that he was not acting on COVID. By the way, he gave all the ventilators that New York needed to New York. Gavin Newsom said he gave us all the resources we needed. Jay Inslee in Washington said he gave us all the resources we needed. But here is James Clyburn suggesting that Trump just allowed people in blue states to die. Oh, well, if you say so, James.
Back in April,
the administration considered implementing a national strategy, but decided not to do so because at the time the virus was primarily spreading in blue states. Just yesterday, we saw the president still employing this political strategy, boasting that there would be fewer deaths, and I'm quoting him here, if you take the blue states out.
Okay, again, the reason that they didn't implement a national strategy is because America is a nation with lots of states, and not all the states were being hit equivalently. And so a national strategy would have forced states that were not being hit to shut down. Okay, now this doesn't mean that the White House handled everything.